Okay, we've been talking about doing the works of Jesus, and we've come to a point now that we kind of began last week where I want to talk about just as forgiveness of sin is ours to receive, so is healing. How many of you know that you can do something that you know is wrong, is clearly wrong, and you can do something to another person, and just because you're maybe in a funk or whatever, you think you're justified, not only will you not ask them to forgive you, but you won't ask God to forgive you. Because, God, I'm right and they're wrong and you know it, and yet you know what you've done deep down violates Scripture. That's not the way you ought to pursue this. And yet forgiveness is available, right? It's not like saying God's going to withhold that from you, but you know what? You have to come and you have to receive, right? And there's a way to do that. And it does involve what you believe in your heart. Because I've come across so many people who believe that they've committed such awful things, done such bad things that God couldn't forgive them. Now, most of the time, all the time, it's not because God won't forgive them. It's because it starts with, they can't forgive themselves. You don't know the people that I've hurt. You don't know the damage that I've done, and I can't forgive myself. So how in the world could God ever forgive me? And that needs to be dealt with. But it doesn't mean that they cannot receive forgiveness. There are people that think that that what they're going through is somehow the hand of God has come against them. And that God's going to get them, because of the things that they've done wrong. And I want you to know, that's not what the New Covenant, that's not what the New Testament tells us about our Heavenly Father. That's not the way He operates. Again, we look through the lens of Jesus. Anyway, where we've been looking at, in ministering healing to others, where we were looking at primarily, because there are other ways, but primarily four ways or methods to ministering healing. And we see that Jesus heals people today through His Word. Jesus heals people today through our prayers. Jesus heals people today through laying on of hands. Jesus heals people through the gifts of the Holy Spirit He has given us. All of these things. But today I want us to focus on the reality that Jesus heals people today through His Word. God wants us to understand the life and the power that is in His Word. God created the universe, and Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be. He spoke, and the universe came into existence. Life on this planet came into existence when God spoke. He created the natural realm that we live in through words. There's power in His Word. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that is the gospel, the word of God, it is the power of God to salvation. Now, Mike, I'm going to ask you to go to the next slide and then come back to this, because I'm going to take this word salvation. I think I mentioned this before, but I want you to see this taken straight from Scofield's reference Bible. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Now, Scofield is good for as far as he goes. He's just still incomplete. Unfortunately, there's many followers of Jesus Christ that have a Scofield reference Bible who don't even believe this. It's unfortunate. Salvation, he goes on to say, salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. Now, you'll find many people who are of the same denomination, same persuasion as Scofield, who would argue with him today. They didn't back then in the 40s, whenever he wrote this, or maybe he was earlier than that, 20s probably. But they would argue with him today that no, healing is not part of redemption. But we've looked and we've seen over and over again that the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, ties the two together completely. That what Jesus did at the cross, everybody acknowledges Jesus bore our sins. He took our sins, the sins of the world, on the cross. But Peter, 1 Peter 2:24 says, not only are our sins forgiven, but by his stripes we are healed. Jesus took our sin, our sickness, he took our spiritual death upon himself at the cross. All of that's available for us today. So anyway, again, Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to healing, to deliverance, all these things, for everyone who believes. And again, I think in the video last week I talked about believing is important, you know? You believe that God will save people's sins? Well, let's believe everything else that the Scripture talks about in connection with these, with the forgiveness of sins and saved and going to heaven. It also says that he took our iniquities, he took our pains, he took our sorrows, he took our sicknesses and diseases and our pains upon himself. Let's believe it all. It says for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Okay? Again, Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do you know God has bennies? He does. He's got bennies for you. But you know what? It won't do you any good if you don't know what they are. How many times you see those commercials, you get something, you know, you may be able to take part of this. Like on the internet, you know, you got your house here. Through a certain law, you know, you can now do. Well, I never click. Don't ever click on any of those. Clickbait, stay away from. It's only going to lead to trouble. And starting at your computer level. But the point is that there's all these benefits out there. And you could be a recipient of some government benefit that you may not know about. But, you know, just because it's available to you, it's there. If you don't know about it, how do you know it's not doing you any good? I mean, you could have benefits at your bank. I mean, you know, they may offer something, but you go down the list. But if you don't know about it, or if you, no, I don't believe that, then you're not going to find it beneficial to you because you'll never partake of it. Forget not all of his benefits. Unfortunately, too many people have done that very thing. Forgotten. And or dare I say, too many people ignore and choose not to believe what God's word says is theirs. It says, who forgives all, say all your iniquities. That's all the dumb stuff you've done wrong. Who heals all your diseases. If someone believes they have done something that God won't forgive, they'll live under the weight and the guilt and condemnation of that, because the accuser, the enemy, Satan, will make sure that they do. Even though God's forgiveness is legally theirs because of what Jesus has provided for them. If you believe that God won't heal you for whatever reason, and you won't receive it, it doesn't change the reality that it is yours in Christ Jesus. And there are people today who believe that God won't heal them because he's working character, patience, all these different things. We've already covered some of this stuff. That where do you find that in the Bible? You know, patience for what? Because most of the people do that. They do it unto death and then they die and go to heaven. And now I guess they're patient in heaven? I don't know. It's very, very sad, actually, the lies that the religion that has crept into Christianity, a religiousness that believes all kinds of things that you do not find as part of the new covenant. Psalm 107. The psalmist says in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word. There's power in God's word. Your Bible, Holy Scripture, has power, more power than you know, more power than you've experienced. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And if you go back and read the context of Psalm 107, the destructions they're bringing upon themselves. But he says he'd even delivered them for this. In other words, it's a mess of your own making. You don't have to just, oh, well, I guess, you know, I did this, so I deserve this. And no, there's redemption. There's forgiveness. God will turn it around. Look with me in the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. In other words, at their churches, we would say today. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. He spoke word. He went and taught. He's speaking the word of God and he's healing people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. Mark this word, torments. It's literally the word for pains. They had intense pain, chronic pain, pain that won't go away. Jesus delivered them, healed them of that. And those who were demon-possessed. You know, there's people today who say, I don't know about this demon stuff, and you believe in the devil and all that. Listen, let me tell you again. You can doubt all you want, but the one who went to the cross for me, gave his life for me, and brought me eternal life, believed that there was a devil and knew that there were demon spirits that needed to be dealt with, that it affected people's lives. I'm with him. Dress me funny, put me in a funny hat too, silly glasses. I don't care. I'm with him because he conquered death. And Houdini is still dead. Do you know that reference? Great escape artist, he said, if there's a way to escape from death, I will. You know, there's still people who hang out waiting for Houdini to show up. No, Jesus conquered death, hell, the grave, sin, Satan, sickness, disease. I'm with him. So it's important then, if that be the case, that I learn and understand what Jesus is saying here. Okay? Listen, it says that he healed them all of these, paralytic, epileptic, all these things. He says, but listen, just because the Lord, we from Psalm 107 verse 20, sent his word and healed them, and we see Jesus here proclaiming the word and healing people, just because he sent his word to heal them doesn't mean that people will receive healing. I don't think we're going to get to it today. No, but remember, Jesus came to somebody who was in bad shape, and he asked this question. Will you be made whole? Now, you think Jesus is stupid? I don't. I think that it's instructive. Will you be made whole? And the guy begins to make excuses. Well, you know, I'm trying to get down in this pool because when the angel comes down, stirs the water, first one in gets healed. And, you know, I've got nobody to help me get down there. And you can see I'm a paralytic. I can't move, so... He's not even answering the question. He's making excuses. And do you know how many of God's good people make excuses? Will you be made whole? If you are willing to be made whole, and then there's people that question whether it's God's will, and it's settled once for all in the person of Jesus. You know, remember, at the end of John's gospel, I mean, John said, if everything that Jesus said and did were to be recorded, written down, he supposed the world itself would not be able to contain the literature that it would take. There was so much more. So we only have a few instances. Why is that? Well, first of all, we don't need to know about every little encounter Jesus had in ministering and helping and delivering people. We just need the few that God has given us in his word. And so when the leper came to Jesus, he said, Jesus, son of David, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus looked at him and said, I will. It is God's will to heal. Look at me and hear me. It is God's will to heal you. That is the will of God. You know, it's amazing to me how many people will fight to stay sick. Come up with all kinds of reasons why they can't receive healing or won't receive healing. Just because God sent His word to heal people doesn't mean that people will receive healing any more than people receive salvation. God sent Jesus to save people. Is everybody saved? No. Everybody received God's salvation? No. Doesn't mean that salvation is not true. Doesn't mean that it's not God's will to save them. Maybe they've got genuine concerns, objections. That's what apologetics is for. Let's begin we're only going to begin this morning because we're still going to come to the Lord's table. Because, well, I'll mention that in a minute. But we're going to begin looking at how the power of God's word is received and released in us. Now, you remember Jesus, he began to tell a story. He said a farmer went out to plant seed, to sow seed. And he says that in this process, some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell on ground that had lots of weeds, and some fell on good ground. Okay, that's the front end of the story. You're welcome. We're going to read this from Mark chapter 4, and you're welcome to go back and read the front end where he tells the parable. Okay, a parable is a story. And we're just going to start reading where Jesus explains the parable. And it's important that we see this because his disciples came to us. Jesus, why are you just telling stories? Why are you telling parables to the masses of people out there? And there are very real reasons why, but we're not going to digress into that. And that's why in verses like 11 and 12, you have what Jesus said, that people think, well, why doesn't God want to have them turn and be healed and blah, 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 so on and so forth. Context. But it's not important to what Jesus is saying here in the application for us right now. So Jesus makes this statement. He says, he said to them, his disciples who came to him, and there were a few others with him, do you not understand this parable, the story that I've told? Notice then, how then will you understand all parables? Again, I'm not going to take time to show you how that this parable that Jesus told is the key to unlocking all of his other stories. He says, "How? Look at it, read it." That's what he said. How then will you understand all the parables? He goes on to say, verse 14, the sower sows the word. You can be a sower of God's word. I can be. Jesus was. We're to be like Jesus. We can all sow the word. We can all plant seed. These are the ones, the seed that fell by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, these people, he says, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This is where Jesus said he plants the seed and immediately the birds of the air come down and start digging around and eat the seed. He says that's just like how Satan comes. It's not all that I pray. It's not that I pray it every time. But most of the time, the number one prayer is I'm leaving this building and I pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that the word of God that was sown in people's hearts today, it went into good ground. It will bear fruit. Satan, I know that you seek to come immediately after the word's been planted to steal it, but you will not. It will produce 30, 60, 100-fold in their lives. Because I know the strategies, the tactics of Satan. Scripture says we're not to be ignorant of those. Oh, okay, well, we know Satan does this. What am I going to do about it? Well, you're going to stand up and you're going to declare the word of God. You're going to push back against the adversary. That's what you're going to do. You're going to fight. You're going to hang on to what God gives you. He says, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it. Wow. That's mine? That's what the scripture says? They receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so they only endure for a time. Afterwards, when trouble comes their way, tribulation or persecution, people call you names, arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They give up and they quit. Oh, you go to a church that believes that God really does help people today, that he heals, he does good things. You believe that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because that's what the Word says. You want to be a doubter? Then do without. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the Word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in, choke the Word, and the Word in their lives becomes unproductive. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the Word, accept it. This is the Word who received it. They accept it. They receive it and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let me just tell you something. The seed of God's Word is good. It's powerful. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It will produce. And that's what Jesus is saying in this. He says you get some production, but notice it's not the seed that's the variable here. What made the difference in the story Jesus told here? The ground. The seed is the same. The same seed was spread everywhere. Now, let me show you how we've twisted this around. Again, how religion has crept in to Christianity. Because some people say, oh yeah, the Word went out. The Word's the same. But see, it's God's will that they not receive anything. And that the cares of the world that get choked out and not be pretty. God, it wasn't God's will for them to receive anything from that. Is that anywhere in this? No. It is the ground. Let me cut to the chase. It's the condition of your own heart and mind, how you receive it. There are some people, they allow the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, all these different things. They allow the Word to become choked out in their life, and then they have the audacity to blame God. Well, I guess it's not God's will. And then they get mad at God. When maybe you just need to do a little weeding. Maybe you need to do the hard work of taking out some of the rocks, the stony things, the hardness. Remember Jesus talking about, and throughout the Old Testament, God talked about people having hard hearts. Hard ground, it doesn't allow the seed to penetrate. Didn't have anything to do with the will of God. The will of God is He's spreading the Word. The Word has power. Will you accept it? Or will you kind of vacillate with it? You see, God's Word releases life and power in you the same way that a seed works. How's that? Well, seeds release their power only if they go in deep enough. Okay? You look at the three soils that don't produce. What's the problem? The problem is a depth problem. Just laying on the ground, the birds of the air come and eat it. Stony ground, you got problems there. And then, you know, the third one, the seed goes deeper, but other concerns are just as important. Notice this carefully. Mike, did I not go through these? There you go. This, okay, yeah. The first one doesn't produce anything because the seeds don't go in at all. The second one of the three doesn't produce life because the seeds don't go in deep enough. And the third one, seeds go deeper, but only as deep as other concerns. Other concerns, well, yeah, I know what God's Word says, but this is how I feel. Or this is what the doctor said. I remember a minister talking about twin boys. This dad had brought his twin sons, and he was a Baptist man, and this guy was conducting back in the days when they would have 3-4 week long services every night and sometimes twice a day services. And he said, I've been coming, I've been listening to you, I've been following along in my Bible, and man, you are right, because he brought his boys to be healed. They'd been taken to probably the Mayo Clinic to see specialists, and they were told these boys are incurable. There's nothing we can do for them. They will probably live 2 or 3 more years and they will be dead. But it brought them to church. And they began to hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, receive the Word of God. The minister there laid hands on them, prayed for them. They were healed instantly. They took them back to the clinic and they say, we don't understand this. It's gone. It's not there. Now, these people were from a background that didn't preach healing, didn't talk about healing. But a lady that was a part of the back then they called full gospel churches, who was a part of that, knew all these verses. God had already done healings in her life. She knew it. She had been to a doctor, and the doctor says, it wasn't the same thing that these boys had, but she'd been to a specialist. She was a wealthy woman, had money, and she got the best of doctors, and they said, you're incurable. You are not going to live much longer. Get your affairs in order. And she said, well, he came forward for prayer, and she said, yeah, I know God can heal. He said, all right, great. Well, let's pray then. Let's believe God. But the doctor said, the minister said, well, yeah, thank God for the doctor. We're glad for what doctors can do, but aren't you glad we have inside information? Because God's word says this. Yeah, I know, but the doctor said. You see, the word was in her heart, but so were the cares, the concerns, the opinions of other people, the influences of others. She gave them more influence in her heart and mind than what God's word said. You know what? She didn't receive healing, and she passed away in a couple of years after that. Well, God wanted those boys well and wanted her to go. No. No. She chose to let the cares of this world, all the things that Jesus talked about there, have equal or more weight of influence in her life than God's word. She chose to believe the wrong person. I choose to believe Jesus. The way God's power is released in your life is by listening and thinking and reflecting and discussing and applying the Word of God over and over again in your life. The gospel is not something that does something to you without you. You got to cooperate with the grace of God. You just don't sit back and pray, oh God, come down and change my life. I got so much wrong. Come and change my life. Oh, hell yeah. Hold on just a minute. God, there's that funny line there. I've seen this before. I've seen this movie before. Yeah. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to engage in faith. That's one of the reasons why we have ministry teams that you can be a part of and groups to be a part of, so that you can get together with people of like precious faith and pray for one another, stand, encourage them to believe the Word of God in spite of all the other influences that want to have the preeminence in our life. This is why Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, cast down every thought and every imagination that tries to exalt itself in your life above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a battle that you've got to fight regularly, consistently. Because the enemy doesn't give up. Oh, that God's people were just as diligent as the devil. So how do we start? Proverbs chapter 4. My son, give attention. Meaning you've got to give it. You have to open up to it. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, not the opinions of your Aunt Matilda, who, you know, well, I, you know, you had a cousin who died of this very thing, and you're probably going to die too. All right, thank you for that encouraging word there, Auntie, but I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to fight with God's word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Meaning what? They can depart from the midst of your heart. You have to keep. The word keep here means to guard, to protect, to retain it. Keep it in your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. God's word, His words are a never-failing remedy for any situation or circumstances that comes your way in life, including sickness and disease. Again, verse 22 says, His words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the end of that verse, He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. God's words are life. God's words are health and healing. Listen to me. God's word functions like medicine. Medicine for what? For all your flesh. In fact, that's exactly what, when we look at the word health, It says in verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health. The word there for health means medicine. His words are medicine for all your flesh. So since God's word is medicine for all of our flesh, well, we need to know how to take God's medicine, right? You can go to the doctor, you go to the pharmacy and have the prescription fulfilled. There's directions on there, right? And usually they ask you, do you have any questions about taking this medicine? And you either say yes or you say no. Do I take it with food? Or what? It says right here on the bottle, take with food. Or no, it doesn't matter. Whenever. There's a right way and a wrong way to take medicine. And the dosage, okay? So he says, as medicines, we need to know how to partake of it and how to take God's medicine. And Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 tell us exactly how to do that. Number one, give attention to God's word. You have to give attention. Pay attention. Incline your ears. That is turned. You have to, what this means is, you know, you're in a crowded room and there's lots of noise and all of a sudden, hey, do you hear this? Hear what? I mean, there's all, no, tune in, because you can hear this. Oh, and then what do you have to do? You have to start filtering. And how do you filter? In your mind, working with your ear, your hearing capacity, you begin to tune out certain other things to focus in on something in the midst of all the rest of the noise, right? And I'm telling you, the enemy will make sure that there's all kinds of noise in your life so that you are not tuning in, inclining your ear to hear what God is saying. That's not only just only the written word, but I also believe that God speaks to people today. No, he doesn't tell them to do stupid, crazy things. God told me to go buy this ice cream sandwich and to eat it slowly, enjoy it, and not share with you. Or where you get the real crazies where they're saying God told me to kill and do. No, that's not our God. They're deceived. Let it not depart from your eyes. In other words, every time you feel yourself drifting and worrying and concerned, get your eyes back on the promises of God. For thus saith the Lord. Keep it, protect it, guard it in the midst of your heart. Because there's going to be other things there that try to choke it out. All these instructions imply a continual, ongoing action. Not something we do one time or once in a while. I mean, just stop thinking. In the natural, suppose you had an illness last winter, okay? And the doctor prescribed a certain kind of medicine for you to take. And so you come into this winter, and you get sick again this year with the same illness. And the doctor says, well, here, you need to take this again. Are you going to say, oh, wait a minute, doctor. I've already been there and done that. I don't need that anymore because I've already taken it. Well, listen, what worked for you back then is not going to work for you again now. You need a repeat dosage. Yet so many people think, well, you know, I prayed and you know, God touched me and healed me and I believed his word and I still know his word. But here I am again. Same thing's coming this time around. You're under attack. Let me just clarify something, and I'm running out of time quickly. But just because we hold to these truths doesn't mean that you will never be sick. You know, one of the things that I have to battle with, because every time through the 30 some years that I've been here that I taught on healing, guess what happens? I get sick. I come under attack. It doesn't mean that you won't ever get sick. Are you ever tempted to sin? Does sin ever, you still miss it? Oh, I guess I'm the only one. Boy, that was embarrassing, me raising my hand, wasn't it? You know? Yeah, we look, to come under attack, just because the enemy is coming against you, doesn't mean that it's not true, or that, you just need to begin to take some more of God's medicine. Let's get into that. All right, so God's word won't benefit you if you have the attitude, hey, I've heard that before. No, in order for God's word to do any good in you, you've got to keep taking God's medicine. Again, verse 20 says, give attention to my words. That means give God's word your undivided attention, the number one influence in your life. Above all else, that means you're going to have to put down some things, cast some things down, resist some things. No, I'm not going to believe that lie. You say, well, Pastor, you've been teaching on this all year. What's happened to you so far? Well, the enemy is a liar. And I've exhibited certain symptoms that in some situations, some people would say it's cancer. Now, my family's looking shocked because I'm not talking with them. This is, but it's not. I know that it's not. I know that it's not. I know that it's not. It's just the enemy taking occasion of a certain symptom and saying, this is what it is. Well, you go to WebMD and see. No, it could be several other things. In fact, cancer is not even mentioned with those. Well, do you believe everything on WebMD? No, I don't. Yeah. I've got three doctors in my family, so, you know, it's okay. But what I'm saying is the thought comes. Now, listen, if I were to start, oh, wow, man, yeah, that's probably what that is. You know, you can open the door to Satan to come in and work all kinds of wickedness and evil disease in you just by what you believe there, what you open the door to. No. I know the truth of God's word. I'm not worried. I know who my maker is. I know who my healer is. Okay? God's word is true. Let every man be a liar. Let every other influence, you give attention to God's word. So, he says, you've given God your undivided attention. In other words, you put God's word in your heart and you put out of your heart everything that is contrary, that says something different, that works against the word. The rest of the verse 20 says, incline your ear to my saying. That means taking God's word by opening our ears to what God is saying to you. Not only what he says in his word, but what's God telling you to do right now? What does God want you to do now? We are to attend to God's word. If you're attending to his words, his sayings, you're closing your ears to other things that are talking to you. And sometimes it's the voice in your own head. No, shut up. You're wrong. You may not want to do that around other people necessarily, but you say it inside, and when you're alone in the car, wherever, you talk back to these things. Okay? You're closing ears to other things, such as the opinions of other people that contradict God's word. You're pushing out doubt and unbelief, fear. We're to look at God's word as well as listen to it. Again, verse 21 says, do not let them, God's word, depart from your eyes. Now, that scripture doesn't mean that we never look at anything else but, you know, the Bible. It means that we're to always look to God's word instead of at the circumstances. Remember what happened? Peter had a word from Jesus. In the midst of the storm, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And Jesus, if it's you, tell me that I can come and walk with you. Come. He has the word. But what happens? He gets to walking on the water, keeping his eyes on Jesus, believing Jesus said he could walk. And then he started looking at the wind, the waves, the storm around him, and he began to sink. Well, I guess it was just God's will that he sink at that point. No. No. He called out. He says, immediately, Jesus was there to help and reach and pull him up. You're doing so good, Peter. Why did you doubt? There's power in God's word. There's healing in God's word. God's words are medicine to all your flesh. That means it's good for what ails you. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you will believe him and act on his word, God is no respecter of persons. God favors everyone who believes his word. And when you feed your spirit, your soul, your mind on God's word along the lines of healing, you are building up health and healing into your body because God's word is health to all your flesh, every part of your flesh.